Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Friday, November 2nd, 2018. A few days ago, actually. On Tuesday, RT America ran a segment you can find on YouTube. Maybe we'll play that later. It's titled "World Dumping U.S. Debt and Hoarding Gold: De-dollarization Explained." And again, people have been talking about this. I know that Richie from Boston did a video the middle of October. What the heck was that called? I think it was the Economist 2019 blackout cover dollar collapse. Economist 2019 blackout cover and dollar collapse. That video, I believe. Same issue. Folks have been talking about it all year and into last year and into 2016. Again, like I said, you know, the voices over at Agora Financial, Addison Wiggin in particular, Jim Rickards, Robert Kiyosaki. I keep seeing these commercials everywhere. Robert Kiyosaki has been talking about it for 2 years. And so, you know, the voices have been warning. So now RT runs a story October 30th, you know, which is kind of why I was joking yesterday. No October surprise, really. But there are the rumblings. There are the makings. So the video, "World Dumping U.S. Debt and Hoarding Gold, De-dollarization Explained," and the description of the video in a special extended segment, Anya Parampil is joined by In Question producer Kay Pritzker. And so is that, you know, what's Kay Pritzker's relation to the other Pritzkers? Anyway. Who explains why Russia, China, India, Japan, Turkey, Venezuela, and Iran have all made moves away from the dollar, including dumping their holdings of U.S. debt and increasing their respective gold reserves. And so, speaking of Addison Wiggin, one of the things that he's mentioned is, you know, we talk about Bretton Woods, we talk about, you know, Nixon closing the gold window and those kinds of things, but he mentions the debt system, you know, consumer debt in particular, that was introduced particularly in the 50s, and how it's a system that's untenable, especially, again, based on the economic underpinnings or lack thereof specifically. It's untenable. And so what happens when something like this happens, when countries like Russia, China, India, Japan, Turkey, Venezuela, and Iran start to move away from the dollar? I've mentioned it before. I'll say this, and then we'll go to the phones. Alan Greenspan, ironically, in his piece "Gold and Economic Freedom," again published back in 1966 originally, and it appeared in the newsletter The Objectivist, and it was reprinted in Ayn Rand's Capitalism, The Unknown Ideal. But it was a short piece, but a fairly comprehensive treatise on how this system of funny money works. When banks loan money to finance productive and profitable endeavors, et cetera, et cetera. But the process of cure was misdiagnosed as the disease, et cetera, et cetera. When business in the United States underwent a mild contraction in 1927, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it's fairly exhaustive. However, toward the end, this is what he wrote specifically. The last three paragraphs briefly, and then to the phones. Under a gold standard, the amount of credit that an economy can support is determined by the economy's tangible assets, substance, not just form. Since every credit instrument is ultimately a claim on some tangible asset. And by the way, you know, just as a parenthetical aside, John Stadmiller has been saying, I think pretty much every day lately, if we get rid of the Federal Reserve, we don't have these problems anymore. The one YouTube video that I've ever made on the Road Warrior Radio YouTube channel is about this issue. It's that audit the Fed HR 1207 and the Financial Sector Assessment Program, part one. I haven't done part two yet, apparently. But I was saying we don't need to audit the Fed. We need to get rid of it. An audit would be a setup. Brer Rabbit, oh, please don't audit us and then show that, you know, our system is corrupt. And now the IMF should swoop in and vacuum up control and oversight, et cetera, et cetera. No, no. That's the plan. It's a setup. We don't need to audit. So the one video I've ever made is about this issue. Anyway, continuing. Under a gold standard, the amount of credit that an economy can support is determined by the economy's tangible assets, since every credit instrument is ultimately a claim on some tangible asset. A credit instrument, a check. That's what a check was, a claim check. Continuing, but government bonds are not backed by tangible wealth. Only by the government's promise to pay out of future tax revenues. How can that work? Again, the funny money system. You know, you can't increase both ends at the same time, and particularly when your ability to pay is decreasing. Do you see what I'm saying? So from the middle, your ability to pay on either end is decreasing. Meanwhile, both ends of the spectrum are increasing. How long can that persist? I don't know, maybe at the end of a gun for, you know, a few decades. But there are many voices. I mean, when I was watching the RT video earlier today, I saw it today, I was thinking about the global trends reports from the NIC, National Intelligence Council, Global Trends. I think 2020 was the, or 2025 was the big one where they started talking about Russia, China, and India, and this parity, the U.S. decline, and those kinds of things. And that was 10 years ago, I want to say, that was published. Anyway, continuing, government bonds are not backed by tangible wealth, only by the government's promise to pay out of future tax revenues, and cannot easily be absorbed by the financial markets. A large volume of new government bonds can be sold to the public only at progressively higher interest rates. Thus, government deficit spending under a gold standard is severely limited. The abandonment of the gold standard made it possible for the welfare statists to use the banking system as a means to an unlimited expansion of credit. Funny to hear Alan Greenspan write this in 1966. What happened just a couple of decades later? They have created paper reserves in the form of government bonds, which through a complex series of steps the banks accept in place of tangible assets and treat as if they were an actual deposit. Do you hear that? They're not an actual deposit, i.e. as the equivalent of what was formerly a deposit of gold. The holder of a government bond or of a bank deposit created by paper reserves, which is an oxymoron, by the way, believes that he has a valid claim on a real asset. That's the key. The holder of a government bond or of a bank deposit created by paper reserves believes that he has a valid claim on a real asset. But the fact is that there are now more claims outstanding than real assets. Again, this is 1966. It's only orders of magnitude worse since then. The law of supply and demand is not to be conned, Greenspan wrote. As the supply of money, of claims, increases relative to the supply of tangible assets in the economy, prices must eventually rise, inflation. Thus, the earnings saved by the productive members of the society lose value in terms of goods. When the economy's books are finally balanced, one finds that this loss in value represents the goods purchased by the government for welfare or other purposes with the money proceeds of the government bonds financed by bank credit expansion. But here's the punchline, and here's what happens. In the absence of the gold standard, there is no way to protect savings from confiscation through inflation. There is no safe store of value. If there were, the government would have to make its holding illegal, as was done in the case of gold. If everyone decided, for example, and here this is what is happening when you hear of these countries letting go of, you know, depegging from the dollar, basically the de-dollarization, Russia, China, India, Japan, Turkey, Venezuela, Iran. And you can see the pressure. These economists are not idiots. You have to ask, why are they doing it? And there's a ripple effect, and it's continuing. Why are they doing this then? These billionaires in the Trump cabinet, why are these recommendations being made? Are they just insane? Are they just suicidal? Or is there more going on here? So, to conclude, Greenspan wrote, if everyone decided, for example, to convert all his bank deposits, and think bigger too, these countries doing the same thing. If everyone decided to, for example, to convert all his bank deposits to silver or copper or any other good, or demand gold and start trading in gold instead of dollars, bank deposits would lose their purchasing power, and government-created bank credit would be worthless as a claim on goods. Can you think of examples in history where something like this has happened? But not in America, right? It can't happen here. It could never happen here. Sure. Good luck with that. And especially because the American economic engine was always designed to be a proxy. Just because we don't want to admit it doesn't make it any less true. It's every bit as real, and we should be concerned. Hopefully that makes sense. To the phones, Renee in North Carolina, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, you know, I would be concerned about what Trump is saying right now, but I know it's never going to happen. You know, the way he is saying that, if I guess he thinks he's Netanyahu, if the caravan people start throwing rocks, that our military is going to start shooting them, because a rock is equivalent to a bullet and stuff like this. Now, you know, one, that's illegal, from what I can understand, for the military to do this. So he's promoting the military participate in illegal acts. Okay, and thank God there's somebody behind him, some military person is going, no, that's not going to happen. Because the thing is, this is the deal. I have to give credit to Shepard Smith for being honest on Fox News. This is all, listen, he is emptying out the slaughterhouse of red meat for his base. Okay, we're not going to have any cows left. The thing is, we're 4 days away from the election. These people are, from what I can understand, a month to 6 weeks out. You know, I was so glad, I think it was Harvey yesterday, brought up the rent-a-mob thing. Now, if they can rent Antifa mobs right under our nose in this country, how easy is it to rent a mob, okay, way over there with those poor people? And you have to ask yourself, who benefits? That's not Soros renting that mob. You know, nobody ever wants to talk about the Zionist Jews who promote conservative cause. If anybody's doing this, Sheldon Adelson, okay, who is a big supporter of Trump. The thing is, we have to talk about both sides. But the thing is, I'm not worried about those people being shot, because I guarantee you, right after the election, oh, look, because we showed such, oh, listen, I could write this script, okay? Right after the election, it's going to be, look, oh, we showed such force and everything, and we were so manly and everything. All those brown people, all of a sudden, guess what? They're going to decide to go home. I'm telling you, they ain't never coming to that border. You hear me? because this is all an election poll. And if you put in Shepard Smith Caravan, you can pull it up on YouTube. I have to give him credit because he's like one of the only persons being honest about this. This is all about the election. And like I say, who benefits? Soros is not funding that. That's a bunch of BS, okay? Because I saw one white woman running for office, and the news people were asking her about other subjects, and you could see the frustration on her face. She's going, no, I want to talk about the caravan. What happened to the brains of people that used to be involved in the truth movement? A lot of them are making the Obama phone lady look like Nikola Tesla. Because this is plain obvious if you just ask yourself who benefits instead of being biased. Who is behind this? This is all
so who would you
the
say
election
benefits?
Rent-a-mob.
Who would you say benefits?
You know? Who benefits? The Democrats aren't benefiting from that. Who is talking about it constantly?
So all, who would you say benefits?
All these ads. Well, it's the Republicans. Because if you look at all the commercials, it's constant, this immigrant scare. Trump, and you can't help but see all those darn commercials for all these people. It's all about the immigrants. But I'm telling you, they are going to magically disappear. Watch, well, y'all remember I said this, okay? They're going to magically disappear. They ain't never coming to the border. This is all red meat for this election to manipulate and scare and fearmonger people to make sure their side gets to the voting booth. And I tell you what, I would put money on that. You know,
Mr.
I mean,
Bordoff
it's just so
makes
obvious.
A,
and Shepard Smith admitted on my air. I don't know
right
how
on.
He keeps
you mentioned
his job.
That. Mr. Bordoff makes a good point. It's funny. He says that, at least to him, Texans seem the least worried about the caravans, which is, I think, a provocative observation. Anyway,
yeah,
very interesting, very interesting observation, Renee.
Yeah, because like I say, if they rent mobs right under our nose here in this country, come on, those are poor people in Central America. You don't think people can't hand out money over there? Really, those people with women and children carrying babies? Their arms, how do your arms hold up for that long, carrying those kids for that long? The thing
yeah,
is,
that's the
I'm
point
telling
that Art
you,
made last
it's
week,
a
rent-a-mob
for this election.
Right,
y'all
I think
watch,
that...
Y'all watch, it's going to disappear. Oh, look,
I think
oh,
that everyone who... would seek to deceive and misdirect benefits personally. I don't think it's just Republicans or just Democrats.
I'm not talking about
I think both
just
benefit.
About the Federal Reserve. You see?
Right. And I've talked about what I think the sort of impetus behind it is, but yeah, I don't think it's just one group. I think there's more to it, but I don't think that I think it's a sort of a color revolutionary effort, a coercive engineered migration corollary, sort of not really coercive but more like bought and paid for, but definitely a sort of color revolutionary initiative. And you know, strategy
yeah,
of tension,
you, it's not
go to
the
polls.
Soros boogeyman. It's the, probably the Adelson or Koch or Mercer boogeyman.
Or more than one. But
yeah.
Definitely funded and definitely disingenuous. Thanks, Renee, for your call. I appreciate it. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back. Holy cow. Phones are stacking up, so we'll do that. Mr. Bordop makes a point of clarification. You know, I don't think Texans are concerned. Paraphrasing, I'm going to say I don't think they're concerned because there's nothing to be concerned about. Not really. Not in this context, you know. Anyway, I could put it more colloquially, but I'll leave it at that. Back to the phones, John in Tennessee. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
All right, I appreciate it. Renee, you're always an interesting call. If I was a gambling man, I'd probably take your bet because I think, Chris, that it is a what I believe you do as well. It's contrived, both sides benefit, and not just the people that are in the forefront.
Yeah,
the reason I called was, go ahead.
It's the Senator Charles Meacham quote from Shooter, you know, there are no sides. Whether, you know, it's the controversy is the rising tide that raises all of these nefarious ships.
Well, and it what it does is it causes us, Chris, to look in another direction while they've got something else going on.
Right.
And I think I may have stumbled across what it is. The industry I'm in gas and oil. And I got some news yesterday that something interesting is happening. What it amounts to, we know that they formed the Fed over 100 years ago, and they went off the gold standard. Then they went to direct deposit. The industry that I'm in, every transaction with every oil company at the refining, at the loadout terminals, at the billing, and this may be going on in other sectors, I don't know, but it's all going digital, live time, to the point where as soon as I put a load on the truck, the billing is done. The terminal that I load at is paid immediately by the company that I'm working for. And it's not just my company. It's Shell, it's Chevron, any oil company you can think of.
Welcome to the blockchain.
Payment. Right, is getting immediate payment. We're getting immediate payment, and it's even to the point where they're telling me that my paycheck will automatically be calculated and put into the account. The petroleum or the gas or the diesel that's on the truck will be paid for immediately so that they won't have to worry about fluctuation in price. Everything is going live real time. That is a thought that ought to scare people to death.
Because
it is blockchain. It is preparation for a total cashless society. You know, for 60 years that I know of, gold has been called what? Or oil has been called black gold.
So just to sort of, I guess, connect the dots real fast between what you're saying and what I was saying earlier and my point about the technology in particular. So, again, I mean, the Bitcoin story, you know, we have this financial collapse, and then moments later, 6 weeks later, you have the introduction of this working paper by Satoshi Nakamoto, you know, who is Kaiser Soze? I mean, who is this character? Nobody knows. And so how convenient. And now what you're saying is this system is coming online, and how convenient would it be to have a system that has just fully come online if there was some kind of situation where it was needed to be used more primarily? And that seems
the drivers just found out about it, Chris. It has to be implemented in the next 2 weeks. So they're instructing us to do everything you can to make it not work so that we can fix it.
Right.
I'll hold over if you want.
Sure. So again, you know, I mean, folks, that to me, the correlation is countries being driven away from the dollar. And what's going to take its place? What will fill the vacuum? Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product, and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Bottom of the second hour this Friday, November 2nd, 2018. Hopefully this stuff makes sense. I'm saying, you know, based on what John is saying, it would be a perfect storm, and I think it's been shaping up for a while, to have this infrastructure in place, to have it ready, and then to conveniently have a system that has been on the brink of collapse for years suddenly collapse. You know, and again, who orchestrates these kinds of crises? Who creates power vacuums around the world? Anyway, go ahead, John.
Well, it's interesting because I've been saying for years that I'm working for a company that I believe is going to control energy in this nation. And it's always, every time the company's been bought and sold, it's the same players. Basically, what we're seeing, you remember when we were kids, man, flat gold, Texas tea. Mm-hmm. You know, and if the money's got to go away, if the people are becoming aware to the fact that they know the paper money is nothing, there's no value. It's the purchasing power and the promise to pay and all that other gobbledygook baloney. We've got to have energy to do what we do. And once they button it down and they tie it up to the point, this thing is almost... What I was told yesterday, I didn't say that to my boss, but it's almost like it is artificially intelligent, like it's able to think, because it does everything, Chris. It'll do it'll do payroll. The only thing it can't do, if you don't enter the data correctly on the tablet that we've gone paperless, if you don't put it in right, they say, you're not getting paid. And I'm like, excuse me? You know, well, they're keeping one person in payroll for the time being to be able to make corrections. But what they want to do eventually is not just this industry. I believe it's everyone is going to be on this system. Like right now, you go swipe your card at the checkout, and your bank deposit, your bank account is debited, and you open up your app on your phone, and it says pending. It's going live, folks. It's going to where if you owe somebody some money, you're going to pay them. If they owe you money, you're going to pay them. There's going to be no walking away from anything because the computer has a perfect memory. And we're helping it and have been helping it, I believe, for the last 35 years.
Right. Well,
the data collection to be able to put this into operation.
Absolutely. And you know, we played the clip yesterday, and folks should listen to that. The full panel discussion from GeekWire Summit this year, the health tech stage, the power of personalized medicine, and folks like Jay Schender saying, you know, we want to get a million people's information into this system so that the system can learn and do these kinds of things. And so, like you're saying, the system remembers, it has perfect memory and stuff, except for, what was that movie? One of several, The Net, with Sandra Bullock, where basically she gets digitally unpersoned. And people that believe that can't happen, again, I mean, the capability is entirely there. It's entirely real. And I would refer folks, as I always do, to Larry Ellison's talk back in 2015. Larry Ellison just painted a frightening picture of what hackers could do next when he said, you think stealing data is bad? Wait until you can change data or delete data. And as I keep saying, I mean, even in that piece, you understand when you really see how the technology works that it can be deleted at a level that avoids detection, essentially. That's what's really scary to me. So, you know, I don't have any faith or trust in any of this technology.
Not just that, Chris. First of all, they force you to go to direct deposit. If you tell them, hey, I want a check mailed to my house, or I'll come to the office and pick the check up, you're a troublemaker, okay? Then they over the last 10 years, hey, you got to have this life lock. Isn't that an interesting name? You got to lock your life and pay to do it so that they can right. protect your identity and keep from someone from stealing it. All the while, their intention is to remove you. If you become a problem, you can literally, like you said, they can erase you. And if you don't think that's possible, Go to your banking one time when you know your check is supposed to be there. You need the money, but the check's not there. And you go back 2 days later and it's not there. And the bank says, oh, we're having a glitch in the software. Don't worry about it. It'll be there. Well, that's yep. fine, but I need it now.
Right.
That's fine, but my house payment is due now. You're going to tell my creditors? So when it comes down to it and they say, Chris Hinckley and John in Tennessee, who are they? We don't have a record of them. Or Renee in Louisiana or wherever she's at, North Carolina. They're going to say, Renee, who? And it's coming to that. It literally pops up. When I do a bill, it pops up on the screen at the loading terminal. It'll pop up on the screen with the information that my company has given to me on my tablet. And somehow it's a whatever loading terminal I pull it out of, it'll be there. That is, you talk about omniscience and omnipresence and omnipowerful, omnipotent.
Right.
They're literally yep, exactly. digitizing themselves to become God, folks.
Yep. Yep. And the same folks at the same places have wanted to do the same thing for generations, and they've been working on it, so why would we believe that they aren't or don't? Anyway,
well, you know, these key card, hold on 1 minute. These key card systems, you know, this to get into a building or whatnot, used to, you had 20 different cards. Now you got 3 different cards. All the corporations are using the same machines. That ought to tell you something.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah. The writing's on the wall.
Hear other people's comments.
Yeah.
See you.
Thanks, John, as always. Appreciate it. Back to the phones. Brian in Washington, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Welcome.
Brian.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, it kind of seemed like Renee still hasn't looked at what is the Hegelian dialectic.
Which was kind of my point. You know, both sides benefit. The controversy is the benefit. You know what I mean? It's a timely controversy.
Yeah. Again, Chris, without you, I'd be feeling pretty discouraged. You certainly are filling a void nicely. And I'm glad that, you know, it's been 10 years, Lark, that actually I can't trust this tech. I'm closing my doors. I'm going to spend every minute of every day and try and stop this. And that's where John's at now. But I was talking with this guy in town here, and he's actually heading your way. He's going to go to Montana, try and get away from the Washington state laws involving real ID. I know you've been RFID, and they're so interrelated. And I said, hey, I need some more information on this. He sent me some stuff. I'll read you one quick paragraph, the Renegade Tribune. And, of course, Zadi Mom put this up at the beginning of your show on the chat. Fingerprints, eye scans, and now required to buy food in India as banks cut off cryptocurrency. So, Chris, this is kind of on the subject matter of which the show is today. Most of India is already enrolled in the program with a total of 1.5 billion already using the system. However, most people are obviously signing up under duress as they have no other ways of accessing basic commerce or financial services. According to the New York Times, the Indian government has implemented an identification system that will require scans of fingerprints, eyes, and faces for all financial transactions, including food, banking, cell phone plans, and state assistance. The program is called the Aadhaar, and it will be mandatory for the 1.3 billion people who live in India. So it's not coming, John. It's here, and we need to absolutely drop everything, as you have done for, I don't know, 10 years, Chris. You put a roof over your head and you pay the bills, yes. But, yeah, I'm with Lark on this. You know, in my line of work, and John's talking about his, I'll be brief. I know you have other calls. You know, there's a 70-foot hydraulic boom truck, and this guy buys one, and he can snake up into a dead tree and hang a choker on it and come down and then get his two flaky employees that don't know the first thing about this to try and have him, owner-operator, get this tree on the ground. He pays them so little, you know, 20-something an hour, because he's got to buy this huge piece of equipment to automate. Well, so yesterday, and, you know, I'm a tree climber, 30 years in the business. I can snake up a tree. It just takes a little while, but I'd be putting the money in my pocket. But yesterday, we commenced burning some stumps. So you can go rent a stump grinder. And, of course, you got to have a credit card because they're so darn expensive, they need a deposit. And you got to drive it home on the highway. And if you break some of the teeth on rocks and the like, well, you got to pay for them. Anyway, it's a hugely expensive machine to grind a stump.
Right.
And yes, yesterday, Jenna and I, we get ourselves, you know, a couple of 55-gallon barrels cut in half. So they look like a cylinder sitting on top of the stump. And we just, you know, we got a dead tree over here, and we got some brush laying on the lawn over here, and we're just wheelbarrowing sticks over and putting this little fire in this barrel, and the damn stump's gone. It's saving the homeowner, which would have had to spend all this dough. No tech. It's all here. And so,
right, but yeah. Brian, you're polluting the atmosphere and the environment. That's what they want to say.
Well, I might even use a little drip system that I can dispose of my crankcase oil with all of those poisons. But anyway, this we got to find some way to get information disseminated and
yes.
Terms defined. You have said this. Merbele has said this so many times. This is the key. I don't think we're ever going to get Clint Richardson and his beliefs on the Federal Reserves and yours and creature from Jekyll, blah, blah. It's some of this stuff we're going to have to say, okay, that's enough time spent. We can't agree. We aren't going to find common ground. Like I said, I hate that word, but we can have a meeting of the minds. People can take the information in and walk away with whatever their opinion is, but we have so many subject matters that this desperately needs some progress on, and I know that you run your show however you want, but if there was some sort of a roundtable, Lark could not moderate. Lark doesn't want to be a guru. He doesn't want to run.
I don't either, and that's the problem. I mean, that's what Hayek says in The Road to Serfdom. You know, the problem is that the decent people aren't the people who are trying to control everybody, and the most unscrupulous do want to, which is why they say, well, I'll do it. I don't want to be a guru either. It's why I didn't mention my name for years broadcasting until people basically said, you know, I think it'd be helpful if you did. Okay, fine. I will relent and capitulate and do it, but I'd rather not personally. Not out of fear, but just because cult of personality is not what it's all about. It's about, like you're saying, people getting knowledge up, taking it upon themselves to do their own homework, come to their own conclusions, and everyone being solid enough on their own. Basically, like I said, have said for years, we stabilize ourselves lest we be stabilized and reconstructed in NATO sort of fashion. So I totally understand. It's interesting you're saying these things because behind the scenes there are some efforts. I'm working on some stuff with some people and it's difficult. I'd like to create some web platforms that are different to do exactly what you're talking about, to disseminate information in a more thoughtful and intelligent and intentional sort of way. And I'd love to talk to you more about that off air, so we should do that. Because I'm looking for input on that. And I think that there's not only is the ecosystem severely lacking, it's what you're talking about is absent, in my opinion. I haven't seen it.
Well, the only final thought is Dr. Martin Paul says we better hurry up because our brains are no longer going to function if we don't get on it. And I see this every day of my life. I walk across the yard. I can't remember. I can grab one thing that I remembered, but usually I could do two or three things at once. I think it's the timing is crucial. I'll let you go. Thank you very much. Looking forward to it.
Couldn't agree more. And again, you know, it sounds crazy to some people, I understand, but do your homework. The technology plus all of these things are conspiring against us and they work together. They catalyze one another. So you have glyphosate, which attacks good gut bacteria, which has an effect on your mind, your thinking, your ability to concentrate and remember things. The heavy metals do the same thing. Glyphosate catalyzes heavy metal concentration in places like the brain. The technology does the same thing. It's very harmful to our health and our thinking. And again, it catalyzes heavy metals. And I mean, you start looking at all this stuff. I mean, who can't argue that these technologies have been systematically weaponized against people? It's once you really start looking at these things in a sort of comprehensive fashion, it's almost impossible to argue that they haven't been weaponized. against people. So anyway, thanks, Brian, and I look forward to talking more about what we can do. I really do.
Have a great weekend. You earned it after this week's worth of broadcasting.
Bye now. Thanks, Brian. I appreciate it. In the interest of time, back to the phones. Fred in Iowa, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Are you talking to Fred?
Yes, sir. Hey,
hello?
Fred. Thanks for calling. Welcome, as always.
Wow. Brian, with his first and last statement, stole my thunder. And you know, and they know how much that I think of and really like Renee and John. Renee in North Carolina and John in Tennessee. When Renee said that the Republicans will benefit, well, both of them.
Absolutely.
Democrats and Republicans. And as you well know, Bill Clinton's mentor at Georgetown University, Carol Quigley, the two-party system, the argument of two parties should represent opposing ideas and policies, one perhaps of the right and the other of the left, is foolish. And you said it, you know it. Let's take the Red Shield Bank, where do you see, one thing that give me encouragement possibly about Trump is when he went over with the other heads of state and the heads of the religion and kissed the ring with his family. And when the head man there was looking daggers at Trump, and I caught that body language and facial expression, that gave me a little encouragement. But let's take the Red Shield Bank. Who of the skirt-wearing gentlemen that has the Red Cross or on their gown? And you were talking about symbols the other day. Tie the symbols in. Same symbol. Well, I don't know if anybody else wants to get on. I'm done. Bye. Thank you. And great show. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Fred, as always. yeah, that was a great little nod there at the end. Look that up, folks, if you don't know what he's talking about. And Quigley said it. John Adams said it, you know, before, there's nothing which I dread so much as a division of the Republic into two great parties. This, in my humble apprehension, is to be dreaded as the greatest political evil under our Constitution. Back to the phones in the interest of time. Paul in New Jersey, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hello, Chris.
Hey, Paul.
Chris, when you start being critical of socialism, you know, it gets my dander up. Because I'm a socialist.
I'm not particularly critical of socialism. I'm just honest in the sense that it is, according to its founders, frankly authoritarian. That's all, and I think that's patently un-American.
Right, but then as we see with the many pathologies of capitalism let loose and running wild, we have the current state of affairs in the United States. I would argue a good indicator for whether
it's
you
not
are
capitalism,
a capitalist
though,
or
what
not.
We're talking about.
I understand.
It's that hybrid Larry McDonald talked about, super capitalism and communism being merged, and that's not true capitalism.
Right, but then you're just being a purist. But I argue that you know, capitalism, sure, in its infancy and start when the United States is empty and all the rest, and you need to expand, it is a good system for that period of time. But as population grows and you get more and more crowded. Right, and I argue that with crowdedness, you're going to have a larger tendency for socialism because you have to manage things better. And I like to compare how I own two properties, me being a bourgeois myself. I have a suburban property.
Well, that's ironic. You socialist, you.
It's actually somewhat consistent because my net value is probably worth only, I'm still middle class technically.
I'm just being ironic.
Right. But the point is, I have a quarter-acre property in New Jersey. Now, on that property, everybody's surrounding me. We're all crammed in. And I've mentioned before, I don't really want my neighbor using his chimney often because it stinks up the air and I have to breathe his exhaust coming out of his chimney. But when I go up to my 112-acre property in upstate New York, sure, I can shoot guns and I can have a big campfire because it's empty and there's nobody complaining near me. See? And with the more space you have, the more freedom you have.
I agree, and that's why a corollary to this sort of ideology is, you know, back to the Malthus, Huxley thinking of herding people into these large metropolitan areas lends itself to exactly what you're saying, and it does all kinds of other things that bad guys want to do too. It's funny how these bad guys, though, they don't want to, you know, they operate by the do what we say, not what we do sort of principle.
Right, but I'd like to tell people out there, you know, I really believe this argument of being herded into a city as ultimate nonsense, because rural land, just go to any real estate place, is really, really cheap. You know, you think about the Civil War. After the Civil War, they promised blacks 40 acres and a mule. You know, you can get 40 acres and a mule for about $45,000. That's not that much money. If you put your nose to the grindstone and just work hard for a few years, you'll amass $45,000. It's not that much money. And that's what I'm saying. The reality is people like to live in urban areas because it's easy. You know, there's a lot of activity. They're not bored. The stores are close and convenient. You know, and rural living, let's be honest, it's difficult. You know, being a farmer, very difficult.
And that's... therein lies the rub, and that's why today in America, if we're being perfectly frank, slavery is more appealing to most than freedom. Exactly what you just said. That's why. So speaking of the grindstone, maybe we should play, if we could, I've wanted to for a long time, we should play Tyler Childers' version of his song, Nose on the Grindstone, anyway.
Yeah,
I think that would be apropos.
Okay, I'll call you sometime next week. I have some comment concerning about the black South Africans trying to take and wanting to be farmers in South Africa. They don't
right
realize that's something you don't want to do. Anyway, Chris, thank you.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate it. Thank you, everyone. You know, to conclude, I would say if communitarianism is anything, it is all things are fluid in terms of definition. So we need to define terms. What we call capitalism is not who we call Jews are not, or they call themselves Jews, you know, the Muslims that the nightly news talks about are not, et cetera, et cetera. What we call money is not. So those are kind of provocative points as we go into the weekend. I hope you have a great weekend. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. And we'll catch you on the other side.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%, no joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell five.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.